tell you what, when we have chapel services, you know, 4 days a week at our center, in the morning time, and when these guys worship, you have 28, 30 guys in that room worshiping. Flint's getting saved. I'm telling you. Because these men, I mean, we have frat houses right next to us, and they're shaking. Okay? They are shaking. Because their voices go out, and the spirit is rolling, and there's nothing better than a group of men that have been redeemed praising the King of Kings. Well, come on, Keith. Come on over here, Keith. Now, Keith, I know you always like, Pastor Phil, why do you do this to me? But Keith's been on this, he's been on this journey with us, you know, and it's been a while, right? He's been in the Detroit program when I was there for, what, 3 days?
Yeah.
3 days. And then he came over to Flint, and then you did how long there?
2 months.
2 months. And then he came in, and then he split off again and went somewhere for a month, and then he came back, and you've been here. You've grounded them feet.
Yep.
And I've seen nothing but change. Makes me emotional because I've been on a long road with this man, and I love this man dearly. And just tell him, man, where you were at and what's going on.
Hello, good morning. Keith, and I am a child of God. Thank you, by the way. I'm just going to start with the beginning. I was raised Catholic. Nothing against Catholic. I love my brothers and sisters that are Catholic. My family still is, but just wasn't for me. It kind of, I believe it kind of took me away from God. I mean, I always had that prayer life, you know, I'd always pray to God, but it didn't suit me, you know what I mean? And not to mention my family was, you know, I love my mom and dad to death, they're great people, but it just wasn't, you know, it was like go to church on Sunday and that's it, go to church on Christmas and Easter and that's it. There was no foundation build or anything like that at home, not to mention they, you know, didn't really get along either. But anyway, I pretty much started my little drug run when I was 13, marijuana, onto drinking when I was 15, pills, you know, and I, obviously that led to heroin, coke, and all that other stuff. But I'm not going to lie, I thought it was fun, at least for a while. Like I said, I always had God in the back of my mind, but it just kind of stayed away from it. You know, I thought praying to him and just believing in God was enough, you know. Then I met my wife, and God bless her heart, she yeah, she really gave it to me, but she got me more into it. You know, she went to a Baptist church. It was more non-denominational, but the pastor, even my pastor now, it hit home. They were so enthused about it, and it just, you know, and the Catholic Church is like, kneel, pray, you know what I mean? It's, I you know, like I said, it just wasn't for me, but you know, I would see these pastors up there, and they would just get so into it, cry, laugh, and just be so excited about, you know, Jesus coming back. I never thought I'd see people so excited to die. And you know what I mean? I'm just, and you know, and I didn't get it at first, but then, you know, I'm just saying. But my wife, you know, we would just talk Bible and scripture, and I was still using it at the time, but it was, you know, like they say, like once you actually get saved or start getting into it, it doesn't become fun anymore. It's just like, I would still do it, but it'd be just miserable. And I continued that for about 8 years, like our whole marriage. I mean, we got married after about a year, and she just kept trying to push me. And then her sister went into Life Challenge, and that's how we found out about it. And she still works here, actually. This is like 5 years ago. And so I, like I said, I went to Detroit. I wasn't having it, dude. It was like the first time I tried getting off opiates, and I really everything, drinking and everything. And I lasted about 3 days, and I went to a secular rehab instead, and that didn't work out too good. But 15 rehabs later, I'm back here, and you know, just like I said, I don't really care. You know, but this time it's just, it was different. Like, I lost I gave it away, really, but, you know, this, my wife's been, that was the 3 days in Detroit, but I came here 2 months, 4 years ago, thought I was good, left, and then my wife's been trying to get me back in ever since, and I straight up told her I will die before I go back there, and nothing, you know what I mean, it's just, but, no, they know I love them, but, but yeah, so this time she actually legally separated from me, left the house. I purposely lost our house. Spent my whole paycheck 1 and 2 days on just heroin and crack, and it was just a mess. I died twice. Well, the first time I didn't die, I came out of it on my own. The second time, they had a Narcan me, and yeah, I stopped breathing for about 2 minutes and woke up, and I literally felt like I died and went to hell. Like, my body was just on fire. It was done for. And that's when I was like, all right, I'll go. Because I used heroin. I got off heroin in 2010, and I used it for like quite a few years, and I never OD'd or anything. And I've been on Suboxone for 10 years, but I didn't have any, so that's what happened there. But you know, it just scared the living crap out of me, literally. And I sat there, and I'd still used for a couple months, but I was trying to get in there, and just, you know, it was just a mess. And I had no joy, no happiness. And then, you know, I came here, still felt like crap for like a month or two, but, you know, I just started feeling myself happy. I remember Miss Amy was like, I never see you cry or anything. I'm like, what for? You know, I mean, I cried enough. And it's like, I'm not going to say I haven't cried, but it's like, you know, I'm just, don't get me wrong, I want to be at home with my wife and kids. And it's just, but I just feel this peace about being here. And even when I left for COVID for a month and a half and, you know, thought I was okay, it wasn't the greatest idea. But so now I'm back, but it's, like I said, I still feel that peace. You know, I love all these guys. They help me out daily, laughing and just, you know, huh? But yeah, and it's just, you know, I got my wife back. Just, you know, God's restored me. Kids love me still. It's like, you know, my mom, everyone, it's just, they're all rooting for me. And you know, Pastor Chris, Pastor Phil, and Amy, they've just been nothing but encouraging to me. And it's like, I kind of now know, like I said, it was more of a habit back in the day when I, you know, going to church and just being on my own, just like I said, every Sunday. But now it's more like I actually understand how powerful it is, and that Jesus actually, what he did for me. You know what I mean? Like, back then it was just like, yeah, he died for me, okay, you know. But now it's just like, I actually like just that second song, it just hit me. I was like, you know, you come up here, you don't know what to say, but it's like, that's just it for me, you know. So thank you.
You know, you guys can all hear Keith laugh throughout the house. It's a little crazy, but we know that he's got nothing but joy now. And Ryan, come on up. This is Ryan. And Ryan, how long you been in the program?
5 months now.
5 months.
Yep.
And I kind of remember when Ryan came in, he was really unsure. Really unsure of this place. Yeah. It was big. But you guys can all back that up, huh?
Appreciate it.
But, hey, Do you guys see a difference now? Yeah. Come on. Share a little bit. Yeah.
All right. Let's do that. All right. How you guys doing? My name is Ryan. Been with Life Challenge for 5 months now. I'm 25 years old. From Gary, Indiana. So I don't know if we got any other Hoosiers. But Michael Jackson State. Get excited. Long story short, a little bit about me and my background as a childhood. Parents divorced at a young age, so I never had a father in the house growing up. That was when I was five. At 9 years old is actually when I started experimenting with drugs because I had four older brothers and sisters. And honestly, it just started out as a game and a joke for me, you know. A little bit of marijuana here and there, a little drinking. Didn't really see a big issue with it. Throughout the years as it transgressed, you know, I started trying harder things, you know, and things got a little bit worse. But I still never really considered myself an addict. It was still more so for fun and games, going to concerts, things like that. I too was, just like Keith over here, was raised Catholic, you know, but it was more so a chore for me. I never really would say I believed wholeheartedly in the Lord. You know, I liked the idea of it, I liked the concept, but at the end of the day, I would have just said that everybody's a thumping, loving Bible person over there, and I'd have made fun of you guys, to be completely honest, you know. That's just where I was. And, with that being said, when I was 16 years old is actually when our first trauma kind of struck home for me. My sister, who was 23 at the time, Sydney, she actually was killed in a car accident. And whatever concept of the Lord or Jesus, anything that I had in my life, you know, completely turned my back on it. And even though I didn't necessarily believe in it, that was the sole person that I blamed for everything. And I really started using that against him, and, you know, I said, if there is a God, you know, why would he allow things like this to happen? A couple years went by, started doing a little bit better, you know. I mean, I was still using, but I had the right track. I actually had some scholarships to play D1 sports, you know. And then, sure enough, 3 years later, my mother, she was diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer, and after 6 months of fighting, she actually passed away when I was 19, and she was 54. That's when the using really just became, that's when the addiction kind of really just took over my life. Cocaine and heroin, anything I get my hands on, smoking it, drinking it, smoking it, it didn't matter. It was all just to numb the pain at the end of the day. After that, my mom's dying wish was to graduate from college, so I still ended up doing that, which was cool. But at my senior year, when I was at Purdue, I actually got a phone call from a police officer in Dallas, Texas, where my brother had recently moved because we have family out there. And he was on his way to work one morning in a road rage incident, and he was shot and murdered in cold blood. And the guy was never found. When that one hit, it was like, so you had the traumatic thing with your sister there one day, she's gone the next, and then you slowly watch your mother die. And now it's just your brother gets taken from you like that. And at this point in time, I hated the world. It wasn't just God anymore, and I wanted revenge, you know. So I actually sought out to find my brother's murderer. I was in Dallas, Texas for the last 2 years prior to coming to Life Challenge, actually hunting him down. I was going to all the bars, I was going to all the streets, the cameras, the cops, doing news interviews. You know, they even had a $50,000 bounty on the guy's head, still never found him. During that time, you know, in that addiction, I mean, I was literally 6 days, 7 days a week sometimes, you know, bag of 8-ball in my car, bottle of Jack, and two pistols in my front seat, just hunting this man. And something hit me one night, and I think it was the first time that the Holy Spirit ever really touched me, and it told me that I needed to run, and I had to go back home to Indiana. So literally the next day, I started packing my things frantically. My boss came to me, and he was like, what's going on? And I didn't even talk to him. I said, I got to get out of here. I'm not safe here. You know, nothing's good for me here. So I went home to Indiana, still struggled with my addiction for a little bit. But November 25th of last year, 2019, I was actually using, and I ran through a telephone pole going 60 miles an hour. Rolled it three times. When I came to, gushing blood, had to kick my door open, and I pulled myself out from it. And that was the first time that I actually, like, saw a piece of heaven. And I saw my mom, brother, and sister in this bright white light, and it was kind of fading in and out. I saw that, and then I blacked out, and then I saw the people that were trying to help me and get the ambulance and get me to the hospital. And that's when I really started to believe, to be completely honest. And with that, you know, I wanted to start fighting for my life. So I, like Keith too, over the last 8 months, I was in and out of 7 different short-term rehab facilities, 30-day programs, sometimes 10 days. You know, they get so filled up that they just want to give you all these medications and kick you out. And I got to the point where I was on 17 different medications before we finally got in touch with Life Challenge. With that too, you know, we had gotten a hold of Justin Ebright and Pastor Phil and Sister Amy, but COVID had struck. So I had to wait an additional like 3.5 months just to get in. But Lord willing, you know, somehow we made it through that time, and my good buddy Mike Blythe actually got me to Life Challenge. So as we were saying, first getting there, I was on psych medication when I first got there. Wasn't really believing in the program or the people. I was very hateful. You know, I still hadn't really changed as much as I'd wanted to. But something came over me after my first month there that I didn't need to take the medications anymore. So for the last 4 months, I've completely been off of all medications. Been praying on that quite frequently, functioning very well. There's still days that I feel a little bit more depressed than others, but I think everybody in the world feels that, regardless of what you've been through. There is a passage that I would like you guys, if you want to turn to it, it's Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Sorry, fun old memory verse we just got. But essentially what it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them to practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because its foundation was built on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them to practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Now I can testify up here that everybody that comes through Life Challenge has built their life on that sand, on that foundation, you know. It was worldly things, it was drugs, it was pornography, it was our addiction, we were so caught up in it. But I can testify that Life Challenge, you know, it truly allows you to build that rock and that foundation. And if it wasn't for Pastor Phil and Sister Amy and Pastor Chris and all the staff, I don't know where I would be right now. And I really don't think that I would be ticking anymore, to be honest. So with that being said, if there's anybody here, if you guys have family, friends, sons, daughters, you know, if you know a stranger that's struggling, and whether it's addiction or whether they just are lost in life, I really recommend Life Challenge because it's doing wonders for all of us here. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you. You know, there's many more here that can share and what's happening in their life. And I see a whole bunch of them, and I get excited. You know, I'm very passionate about it because I myself went through the program 11 years now, right? And so I know firsthand what it can do. When I see my girls up there worshiping, see my wife here, I know that God is alive. He's moving. And I see it in these men. But I want to just share a little bit here on 1 Peter 4:7-11. It says, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Since love covers a multitude of sins, show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength of God's supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Lord God, just be with us this morning. The Lord called a fisherman, Peter. Peter was the name that the Lord had given him. Before it was Simon, but he gave him that name, Peter, the rock, Petros. He was one of the first disciples that were called, like his brother Andrew. See, back in the day, fishermen were tough and gruff. They were the manly men back in the first century. They had a hard job to do. Fishing is still a hard job to do today. I mean, how many of you heard of that show, that TV show called The Deadliest Catch? You know, there's people that were dying to supply food. But these men were tough. They used vulgar language. They probably drank that hard whiskey and smoked them big fat cigars. They were tough. They represented the man's man back then. But God called out Peter. God called out Peter to follow him. He uses some of these men that are tough, that are in the pits, that are broken. See, Peter, he wasn't an angel. He was a sinner also. He was into some stuff, but then the Lord called him. He called him out to give us the word today. See, we need to live like each day that Jesus is coming back. We need to live like Jesus is coming back today. In that verse, it says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. There's a lot happening right now in our country. There's a lot happening in our communities. Peter is saying in those verses that everything is coming to an end. Everything is coming to get wrapped up. It's coming to completion. He's saying, be ready, for the end is near. But the enemy comes in and wants to distract us, to take our eyes off of Christ. The enemy wants us to be consumed with everything else but the King. He wants our eyes focused on the world. That's what the enemy wants. See, this year, in the beginning of this year, it's 2020. And a lot of pastors and business owners that I know said, yeah, this is the year 2020 of vision and focus. We got, you know, we got plans, our ministries. We got new plans with our ministries. We got new plans with our business. We're going to come up with this new thing because it's 2020. We're going to focus in on how we can do ministry a different way or how we can do business a different way. But nobody expected what was going to happen this year. Nobody expected that we'd have this pandemic that would come across us. You see, Peter is saying we need to take our focus, our vision, and put it upon Jesus. We need to take our eyes, our 20/20, every bit of eyesight, and put it on the King of Kings. We need to, during this pandemic, he's saying, no, look at me. I'm here. I'm in the midst of this. I'm in the midst of your lives. Focus in on me. Peter's saying, believe in the good news that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is moving in our lives, that he loves us, that we can't be involved in this world. The world, Jesus. Put your focus on the right things. See, right now there is a pandemic on top of a pandemic. There's pandemics on top of pandemics. Let me tell you right now that alcohol sales are through the roof. Drug overdoses have increased in the last 6 months by 40%. Imagine that, 40% increase in drug overdoses and death. Suicides, 30% have increased during this. We are in the middle of a pandemic, but there's an underlying pandemic there. You know, anxiety, anger, stress, depression has creeped into more people's lives than ever before. Ever before. But Jesus says, focus on me. focus on me. And that's what we do at Life Challenge. We take men, we pull them out of this crazy world, and we put them into a place where they can get to know this God named Jesus on a personal level. To lay down them hurts that you've heard today, those addictions that you've heard today, those pains that you've heard today. That's what we do at Life Challenge. That is our ministry, to come in. And when somebody's saying, hey, I'm looking at this, I'm saying, no, look over there. There's Jesus. My job is to point every day these men towards the cross. Towards the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, so they can feel that freedom, so they can have that escape, so they can live that successful life with Jesus. See, we need to stand firm in these times. We need to stand firm. We need to plant our feet solid upon that rock that Peter stands for. That rock, the knowledge of the Lord, the freedom, the joy, the peace that Jesus brings. We need to stand firm and stand strong in Jesus. In Ephesians 6:11, it says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Ephesians 6:13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. 1 Peter 5:9, but resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of the suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. 1 Corinthians 15:8, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Philippians 1:27, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Philippians 4:1, therefore, my brother, beloved brethren who I long to see, my joy and crown in this way, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. That's what he's calling us. At Life Challenge, we need to stand firm. Because there's an enemy trying to pluck each man out, saying, no, don't do this. Don't do this. There's real enemy out there trying to capture these men and to pull them away from what Jesus has for them, for what plans Christ has for each of these men. So I ask, as you're praying for Missions Week, that you pray for these men. To stand firm, to stay strong, and to not leave the program, but to graduate, to finish, to have it come to completion, and that they would focus in on Jesus. And I also ask that while you're praying for Missions Week for us, that you would pray for these guys here to stay safe during this COVID-19. That we don't get sickness in the house. Because if we get sickness, we get shut down. We got work to do, right, men? We got work to do. We got to keep going. But we can't let the enemy come in and stop what God is doing. And pray these men that they would love God. That they would love each other. That they would show hospitality to each other without grumbling. I had to throw that in there. Without grumbling, men. But that they would use their talents to glorify God. You know, that's what it's all about. I was telling these guys the other day that our full-time job isn't our job. Right? We go and work. Our full-time job is to glorify the King in all that we do. And everything we do, we are to do it to glorify Him. At our table out there, we have some things. You remember Sean Murray? I know, I bet a few of you know that been here for a while know Sean Murray. He would come here. He would sing and do our choir and all that. And now he has his own company. You know, he graduated, did an internship with us. He's got his own business. It's a coffee roasting business. And it's pretty cool. He roasts up a bunch of beans for us. We have some today. He's given it to us at a cost so that we could give it out to the community, kind of giving back to us. And help start, you know, one of our graduates off. Go back and purchase some coffee. And also help us out too. And it's good coffee. And I got to name our special blend. I call it the Awakening. Okay? It wakes you up in the morning. And let me tell you, we all need an awakening, right? But go ahead and get some. It's good, huh, man? He gives us a lot for the guys. But also on our table back there, you can sponsor one of these men. And during these times, this pandemic time, it's been, you know, givens down and all the different things we used to do has kind of faded away. And so we need some help out there. So pray for our finances also. But you can sponsor one of these men for $35 a month. You would get their, you can see some of their cards. You get a picture of them and you get their testimony so that you can go home and hang it and put it right on your fridge so you can remember to pray for them each day. Just knowing that you're there praying for them makes a difference. That you're walking with them through these trying times as they're trying to get their lives right. Because not only, as Keith was saying, he's in here, as Mike was saying, he's in here, but he's got a wife. They got kids out there. Not only does the man come through and be restored, but the entire family. The entire family. And it's a big deal. So when you sponsor a man, you're sponsoring multiple lives. But you can always go to lcm.life and you can see all the different things you can do to come beside us. We always need a driver, somebody that can drive on Tuesdays for appointments. Can I get a, hey, I can do that? Come on. That's how desperate I am. Just raise your hand. You know, we always, hey, you can't drive yet. Come on, Raymond. Come on. But before I pass it over to Pastor Dennis, I just want to thank you again for all that you do for us and all you do for these men. It's so wonderful to know that, you know, we get the encouragement from Pastor Dennis and Jenny all the time and the prayers that they give up to the Lord for us, and we're thankful. But let me pray for you all, and I'll pass it over. Lord God, we just come to you right now. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for this church. I thank you for Pastor Dennis and his ministry, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for his team and this congregation. I thank you for his wife, Jenny, and all his children, Lord God. We thank you for them. Lord, I just ask that you would just swing these doors wide open for this community. For those that are lost, for those that are hurting in this community, that you would just show them the way to here. So that they could seek your face, Lord. So that they could find freedom, Lord. Lord, touch this community. Touch Flushing and the surrounding area. Lord God, I just ask that you be with these men here today and their families. Lord, we can't do this thing called life without you. So, Lord, help us to focus in on you during all these storms, these pandemics, these things that are going on, that we won't lose focus in this time, that our eyes will be upon you, that we would seek your face with everything we got. Lord, we need you. We need your help. And we thank you for what you've done for us. In the precious name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen.